This is the Capricorn FM podcast.
You know, from starting out in the civil service to building businesses across multiple sectors through Tirani Group Holdings and driving community upliftment through the Nyukani Education Center, his story is one of growth, resilience and purpose. And today we get to know the man behind the work and unpack his perspective on entrepreneurship, particularly within Limpopo.
Of course, we have in studio the man of the moment himself joining us. He's a seasoned administrator, he's an educator, an entrepreneur, and he is in studio with us on the first day of our new radio season. What an honor. Good morning, Dr. Tirani Mawunda. In the studio, how are you doing, sir?
Thank you very much.
You know, as we sit here, having your coffee, relaxed, sitting back in your chair. You know, when you look back and you look back at your journey, it's been quite a long and illustrious journey. But when you look back, what are the three words that come to your mind? When you look back at your entire journey, everything.
Anything is possible with human beings.
What does that mean?
For instance, it's not where you start. Some of us coming from the 60s, no electricity, no cars, no radio, no print media, no running water, no flushing toilets. In fact, no toilets at all.
Sure.
Not even long drop. And we hear commanding businesses in the heart of Johannesburg.
Sure.
So if you look at that journey, anything is possible.
Is that what you would say to your younger self? Like if you were sitting here and your younger self in the 60s, you know, that boy who didn't even have access to a toilet or anything, if you were to look at that young boy, and I don't know what kind of state of mind that young boy would have been in, you know better. You're looking at him, like what would you say to him?
Look, that young boy was not ignorant. He still had his faculties like I am today.
Yeah.
But was not exposed. Was oblivious to the fact that there's a world outside Nkowani village where I grew up.
Sure. Yeah.
Because there's no radio.
Yeah.
There's no print media. There's nothing to show you that there's something outside of this village.
Yeah. Sure. So, I mean, there you are speaking about the power of exposure more than anything.
It's exposure, and along the way, it's education, which for me is the most powerful liberator than anything else. And yeah, I remember I saw the ocean for the first time when I was 23, I think, in the 80s. I went to Durban and I was like, wow. And it opens your mind because you just see this vast, you know, creature.
Was that a key turning point for you? I mean, because you said it opened your mind. Was that like one of the key turning points? Because I'd like to hear about the different turning points. It might have been a 23-year-old you being in, seeing the ocean for the first time. It might have been the first deal or studying, whatever. Like, what do you see as those turning points that opened you to another world you didn't even know existed that brought us here?
I would think my turning point was discovering who I am God-given. Like, you know, Marcus Buckingham once said something. That the tragedy in life is not that people have talent. The tragedy is that they don't use the ones they are God-given.
Sure.
Because they live their entire lives without discovering their talents. And when you ask them, who are they? They'll tell you about their qualifications and experiences. Not who they are. What drives them on a day-to-day basis, what makes them do the things they do, what makes them make the decisions they make. Now, when I discovered that, it just revealed me to myself. And that for me was my turning point.
Sure.
And it was because of the one thing I mostly talk about when I talk on public spaces like mm-hmm. the radio.
Yeah.
When I took the test, Strength Finder,
mm-hmm.
By Clifton, Don Clifton, and discovered my five topmost talents. And they were not new. It's just that I discovered them maybe some 30 or 35 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was never the same because now I play to my strength because know them.
Mm.
So let's nip it right there. We are definitely going to unlock it. You, what a way to start a conversation also, just going very deep in a reflective mode. If in case you're wondering, this is our very first installment of the Breakfast Pop-Up Conversations. We'll be having them every now and then when we bring these remarkable people in our space. This morning we have Dr. Terani Mawunda. If you have any questions, any compliments, we're on 079-899-6226 on WhatsApp, and this conversation will continue after this.
Stick around because we have Bodokotela Terani Mabunda. So we're going to be talking to him for the better part of, this hour. It's our pop-up conversation. So, Bodokotela, one of the milestones in your journey was establishing, Terani Group Holdings. So many interests and multiple, sectors and all that. Let's talk about the vision when you founded it.
Maybe I'll take it a step back.
Mm.
There's a company I founded, co-founded with my partner, Dr. Falala Sfiso.
Was that prior?
Sfiso Falala.
Oh, all right.
In 98.
98, yeah.
It's, as the name says, plus 94. It's a research company. Now, I became an executive director, responsible for qualitative research in the company.
Okay.
And that meant I had an 8-to-5. But it frustrated me because I was not playing to my strength, as I said earlier.
Mm.
My biggest strength in terms of my God-given talents is ideation.
Mm.
Ideation means ngomloro in Xitsonga.
Or coming up with ideas in it.
I'm a dreamer of ideas. Then the second one is strategic, and I can put those ideas in practice because I'm also strategic. The third one is achiever, which means hardworking. So, combination, that's a deadly combination.
Yeah.
I dream, I can implement, and I work hard. And by the way, the hardworking is also part of my name, Terani. Tira means work in Tsonga, as you know.
Mm.
So, between 98 and 2001, when Terani Group was formed, I must say I was very frustrated because I had a job. And, a job and this ideation do not go hand in hand. And when Terani Group Holdings was founded, I was liberated because ever since, even prior to plus 94, during the Nando's days in the early 90s, I had a lot of things happening which I was forming. I would say in my business life up to now, which spans about 38 years, I may have formed or been part of forming upwards of 50, close to 60 or even more companies. Yes.
That's amazing. But then how has the, Terani Group Holding evolved ever since?
Very well. By COVID, I think we had gone wild because we had about 26 active companies. But after COVID, I think it trimmed down to about 15. Which we still run today, between 10 and 15 companies. Yes.
All right. That's just so many things that the business is actually looking at. But then how do you manage not to lose the focus?
Look, entrepreneurs, we dream the ideas. You always find other people to buy into the vision and run with it. Right now, I would say Tirani Group Holdings it's into its second generation, because about three, I would say four, if I count my nephew, who is also joining from last year, they are in the company, running different companies in the group.
Wow, that speaks to legacy.
And, and some of them are, you know, people will always say, your children or those that follow you must follow your steps. And I don't promote that. Of course, following steps in business, yes, but they don't have to walk on your steps. They must create their own path.
They must also ideate.
Not necessarily ideate, because they have different talents.
So you can hear that he's speaking of legacy and continuation and entrepreneurship. We will actually, you know, drill down on entrepreneurship and look at entrepreneurship in the province, and of course what you can get in terms of sitting at the feet of Dr. Tirani this morning and just hearing what he has to say. We are in studio with him.
We're still talking to Bodoko Tirani Mabunda right now. This is one of our pop-up conversations that we're going to be having throughout from now onward. Dokotela, as the people of Limpopo, how do we unite, help each other grow our, you know, economic state?
Unfortunately, we also have to play to our strength. You know, when you look at the current conflict in the Middle East, that's when you realize it's hitting the whole world where it hurts.
And the effects will, one of those effects will be, you know, felt tomorrow.
Yes. Midnight.
Midnight, yeah.
Yeah, there's rumors that it will go as high as 10 rands for diesel. But I think government will step in. I'm sure Treasury will come in and cushion it. If it were to be all passed on to consumers, I'm sure it would go to 10 rands, but maybe they'll come in and say government will pay 5 rands and only pass 5 rands to the consumers. But why I'm starting there, it's every country is given natural resources. We have the sun, we have animals, we have minerals in the Skukuni area, in Lipalale. So we have to play to those strengths, because that's what God has given us. When he went to the Middle East, he gave them oil, but he gave us things as well. We have arable land. Why are we not planting and trading in our strength? It's a mystery. I mean, always when I come to my own province, people in Gauteng will say, please bring us mangoes, bring us apples.
Avocados, and yeah. Because that's our strength.
That tells you. And you find we leave Limpopo, we go to Joburg, where it's a cash economy. You have to buy everything in your kitchen.
But what do you think is the problem? Is it because we're ignorant? Is it because we lack the skill, the necessary skill? What do you think is the problem?
We copycats. You see, one of the nations that is very successful in the world is Chinese. To Chinese, civilization doesn't mean becoming Western.
Yeah.
They still remain Chinese. We, when we talk civilization, we change even the way we wear our pants. We must wear them under the bum. We copycat. So civilization for us is going to be in a city. But the city won't feed you. If you're living in Midrand in an apartment, you don't even have the ground to plant, even vertically.
Yeah. You know, in line of exactly what you are saying then, how, you know, as someone in your position, someone who's influential, who's been in business for this long, how do we, is there a way that we can balance, like, when it comes to the economy and everything, the economic resources? And what I'm talking about is just that balance from the rich and those that are the have-nots, or the poor. Is there a way that in society we can just strike a balance when it comes to that?
Well, I guess the gap is widening.
Yeah.
We could balance it if, for instance, we have kids who are at school right now. Well, it's closed, some of them. But what are we teaching them? Because I can tell you what the top countries of this world are teaching their kids.
Mm.
They're teaching them coding and AI and all of that.
Yeah.
Do you think in Chakuma, in some of the deepest rural areas of our province, at Nkobani, where I come from, do you think kids are being taught coding? Now, those kids, do you think they'll compete in the world with their counterparts who are being taught the modern things?
Yeah.
That's the problem. So we'll always be backwards because maybe even as a nation, we're not prioritizing the correct things.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I hear you. So really, when it comes to the economic classes, it's going to be really difficult to bridge that gap and close it so that there isn't such a wide gap between the rich and the poor. So we are in conversation this morning with Dr. Tirani Mabunda. When we come back, we are going to be wrapping up the conversation. A chance for you to send in a comment or a compliment, a question, if you will.
All right, this is Bob Marley and the Wailers. War, No More Trouble. You know, we were reliable in from this is one of your favorite songs, right?
Yes, but as I said,
you don't discriminate.
I'm versatile.
Yeah,
it depends on the mood. I was in reflective mode last week.
Yeah,
because the war in the Middle East is worrying me a lot. Now this song, most people think Bob Marley composed this one.
He didn't.
He took the lyrics from a speech by Haile Selassie in 1963 at the UN.
Yeah.
And he just regurgitated the lyrics.
All right.
The speech that Haile Selassie
the music,
of
yeah.
Ethiopia.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go back to business now. You've been in a business space for over a decade now. Obviously, there's somebody out there who wants to do something to change their lives. What sort of an advice would you give to that person?
It has to start where I started. They have to find out who they are. Because business is not for everybody. You have to have resilience as part of your repertoire of skills. And you must not be risk averse. You know, most people are. And also, you can't start a business because you don't have work. That's not the right way to start a business. You start a business, something called opportunity entrepreneurs. Now, opportunity entrepreneurs are those that go into business because they see an opportunity. As opposed to when you go into business because there are no job opportunities. Those are people who end up being self-employed. And self-employment is, you'll find that the person will end up appointing maybe three people in the lifespan of that business, as opposed to opportunity, where it can be, when the multiplier kicks in, that person can end up, it's like the person who made Facebook, or you even find that it creates other opportunities for people to create content, and it ends up being, you know, creating a lot of job opportunities.
Yeah. We have a couple of messages from our listeners. This one says, good morning, Dr. Mabunda. You're such an inspiration and we are really proud of you. May God assist you to impart your knowledge to even more people. Love Nomvula, who sent that message. This one says, morning. My question is, how is the doctor responding to a challenge that we are facing, that rich people or middle class people will pass you on the street selling avocados, maybe a bit cheaper, and go and buy from expensive stores the very same avocados?
Sell to the expensive stores so that they can sell to the person who passed you. Get your own bag.
Go get your bag.
No.
Yeah.
They must get back at that person who passed them.
Aha.
They must go and buy it more expensive at the expensive shop.
Yeah.
After this person who is at the street has sold to the store.
Yes. And so they are indirectly, even though they thought they are not buying from them, they are buying from them.
Exactly.
So that in turn will force them to go back to the street.
Well, some people will never get wise.
Yes.
They'll so continue buying from the expensive store without knowing that you are the one supplying the expensive store.
Yes.
So they must find their way into supplying the expensive store.
Mm. So, you know, as we've come to the end of our conversation, what would your parting words, you know, just a message of encouragement to those that are listeners that are listening? We are literally at the end of the first quarter of 2026.
I know that there's a lot of hardship in the world, and this war in the Middle East will even usher in more hardships. People don't have jobs. People don't have hope. People are struggling to make a living out there. But my parting shot would be, don't give hope. Don't give up hope. Continue on understanding who you are, what is the best you can do, and try to make a contribution in your own corner. Someone once said, it is better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness.
Hmm. No, that is beautiful. We have really been honored. Is there a chance, before we let you go, we can get that skill to come through, that parking, when you're auctioning. The call-out skill. If I was to say, can the good doctor sell this bottle of water, just to give us...
Who am I selling?
It's an online auction.
No, someone must buy the water from the room. There are enough people.
Did he go buy? No, but thank you so much, Doc. We really appreciate the hour that you spent with us this morning. We appreciate your time.
No, we can have, because for the TikTokers, I think they want to hear.
Yes, sir.
The auctioning skill.
No, did he go buy the bottle of water?
She'll buy it.
Yeah, she'll buy it.
Okay, so we'll sell it in quarters. A quarter is... 15 cents or 2 rand 50 or whatever it is.
Okay.
So when I used to teach auctioneers,
mm-hmm.
So we would do something. You must count.
Okay.
If we're going to sell it at 5 rands.
Okay.
I won't breathe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hat 1 1/4, 1 1/2, 1 3/4, 2 2 1/4, 2 1/2, 2 3/4, 4 4 1/4, 4 1/2, 4 3/4, 5 5 1/4, 5 1/2, 6 now. At 6 now, 6 1/4, 6 1/2, 6 3/4, 7.
Going 7 at 7.
1/4.
Sold at 7, the bottle of water sold to Didi at 7 rand. Thank you so much, Doc. That was Dr. Tirani Mabunda. Thank you.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.